Lawmakers in Olympia have been called back for a second special session this week, and KUOW's Austin Jenkins has been covering it, and he joins us now, as he does every Friday. Austin, thanks so much for taking the time.
Good to talk to you again, David. How are you?
So I'm second special session, and I couldn't help but thinking of, double overtime in sports, except for a lot less exciting. How close are they at this point to reaching an agreement on the budget?
It's hard to say. I think that there is some sense that after last night, and we'll get into some of the details about what happened, where they did pass some policy bills, they got a deal having to do with the estate tax, that may have been the starting of the breaking of the dam to get to a final deal. There seemed to be some optimism in the air. That said, at the end of the evening, the governor still said there are large differences, and both sides once again staked out their positions. The governor saying that in order to go home, they need to close some tax exemptions, they need to do some additional revenue pieces, and the Senate majority was saying, essentially, enough of the revenue talk, time to just get a budget and be done with it. And so, in that sense, they still seem like they are where they were weeks ago.
And you mentioned this agreement that they reached late last night. The state had been preparing to send out millions of dollars in tax refunds in response to a Supreme Court ruling on the estate tax unless they did this. How did they reach an agreement?
Well, this took all day long yesterday, and the vote didn't come until after 10 o'clock, I think after 11 o'clock in the Senate. And the deal involved the passage of another unrelated bill having to do with the state's toxic cleanup fund, often referred to as MOTCA. So that bill got passed first in the Senate. It was sent over to the House. The House very quickly passed it. And then with that done, the Senate was willing to pass the so-called estate tax fix bill. Both of those measures were immediately transmitted to the governor. We went downstairs and after midnight, I think at about 12:30, the governor signed both into law. And as you said, the first batch of checks were going to go in the mail at 8 o'clock this morning. That was because the Department of Revenue was going to be back in court at 9 o'clock this morning on a related estate tax case, and they felt that if they couldn't tell the judge that the checks were in the mail, they might face some additional penalties. So that has been halted, and the reason why this was important to lawmakers is the Department of Revenue estimated that these refunds could total well over $100 million when all was said and done. That's real money when you're talking about a $1 billion shortfall as it is, and the fact that the state needs to come up with $1 billion for education because of another Supreme Court ruling.
Austin Jenkins is with us, as he hears every Friday, with news from Olympia. What's it like down there, late at night? Lawmakers, do they get kind of punch drunk at that point?
Oh, yeah, indeed they do. And it's, there's some joking that goes on. There's a lot of, slurring of the words, not because people have been drinking, but because they're so darn tired. It becomes a little bit slapstick. And I think people also can get kind of grumpy. These are long days, late nights, and a lot of it is standing around waiting. The closest analogy I can get to it is it's like sitting on a plane that you're waiting to, actually back away from the gate, close the door and back away from the gate, and it doesn't happen, but at least you know you're going somewhere, right? In the legislature, you're waiting for that to happen, and you're only going to get to see a bill pass. It's not that exciting.
All right, well, also this week, Austin, Governor Jay Inslee says he's trying to figure out what to do if the House and the Senate can't reach a budget by July 1st. What happens if they can't come to an agreement?
We're going to know a lot better what the answer to that question is after Monday afternoon, which is the deadline for the agencies to get their short list of what they think they need to continue doing or could continue doing by law and by constitution in the event of a shutdown. I think that the bottom line is that the list of things that would cease is going to be much longer than the list of things that would continue to operate. And so in that sense, I think a state government shutdown might feel and seem a lot different than the prospect of a federal government shutdown. We're talking about most state services and perhaps also, paychecks going out, that kind of thing, absolutely coming to a standstill. What they're not going to do is let prisoners out of the state prisons. They're not going to let mentally ill patients out of Western State. But the day-to-day stuff probably would stop.
How close have we gotten to this in the past, in the recent past, to a shutdown?
I think it was 1991, they got right to the end, June 30th. And I believe that the story goes that then-Governor Booth Gardner signed that new budget into law, you know, just before midnight or a couple of hours before midnight. So they've gotten close. And that scenario could play out again, I think, as long as the issue is that the Constitution says you can't pay money out of the Treasury for a program to, you know, to do something for the state without an appropriation under the law. So they need this budget by July 1st. I think they probably need it a few days beforehand just for some technical purposes, but I think they can also get away with June 30th, and life will go on in July 1st.
Austin, the governor also canceled his participation in the Paris air show trip because he needed to stay in town for these budget negotiations. How significant is that?
It's significant in this sense. Governor Gregoire, in her first year in office, 2005, went to the Paris air show. And as a first-term, first-year governor coming from Washington State, the aerospace state, the Boeing state, you are definitely flying the flag and planting the flag in the ground. And it is an opportunity to talk to suppliers, to encourage people to do business in Washington, to keep their operations here, to come to Washington. You are definitely, I mean, I guess the analogy might be if there was a Paris air show for cars and the mayor of or the governor of Michigan didn't go, you know, that might be an absence that's noted. On the other hand, Governor Gregoire then, I think, went again in 2011. It's my understanding the Paris air shows every year. I'm assuming it is. So she didn't go every year. And in this case, Governor Inslee is going to send Congressman Rick Larson in his stead. I think it's not ideal, but I also think the governor understands that politically as well as practically, given the prospect of a shutdown, he needs to be here. And while it's not ideal, he will send somebody in his place. And I'm sure he will hope that it results in some net business for the state of Washington, for the economy, and for the aerospace business in this state.
All right, last question, Austin. The governor is also been pushing for tougher drunk driving legislation. What does he want? What's the status of that?
Even last night, as we were waiting around on the floor of the Senate for something to happen, Senator Mike Patton, who's a Republican chair of the Judiciary Committee, said that bipartisan effort is still underway. They are still working it, and they're still optimistic that could be part of a final budget deal. And the same goes, I think, for the advocates of a 10-cent gas tax increase transportation package, that they hope that could still be part of a final deal. But the reality is, until they get alignment on the actual budget, these other things likely aren't going to happen and probably won't fall into place before that point.
All right, Austin, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Austin Jenkins is KUOW's Olympia correspondent from KUOW 94.9 Seattle. I'm David Hyde.